Good morning, my name is Sung, I'm the pastor here. Bears repeating, but happy Mother's Day to all of you. A couple of weeks ago, we've been in this teaching series on spiritual habits, but today we're going to kind of step back from that and focus on Mother's Day. So a few weeks ago, Amy turned to me and said, "Hey, what are you going to be preaching on Mother's Day?" I turned to her and said, "I'm going to be preaching on 2 Timothy chapter 3. She says, "Well, what does that say?" I opened up my Bible and started to read to her. And said, "In the last days, people will be lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, and unholy." She said, "It's Mother's Day, Sung. Nobody wants to hear that on Mother's Day." So a couple of days later, I came back and said, "I got it. Luke chapter 14 is what I'm going to speak on Mother's Day." She said, "What does that say?" She rolled her eyes, kind of said, "Well, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, such a person cannot be my disciple." Well, then she reminded me, Sung, my parents are coming in that weekend. And so you don't want them to think that you're talking about them somehow with that passage. So I would suggest you talk about something else. So I picked out two verses found in Exodus chapter 20 and Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Some of you may be familiar with these passages, but Exodus chapter 20, this is part of the Ten Commandments. "Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." And the other one in Ephesians chapter 6, and by the way, this was my dad's favorite verse when I was growing up. I don't know why, but he would often quote, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." My favorite comeback was three verses later. "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." It's always a humorous and pathetic thing. My father, who's a pastor, and I'm a pastor, when two pastors come together and their argument revolves around throwing Bible verses at each other. But that's what often happens. So now, Exodus chapter 20, this is really, the Ten Commandments, it's not really addressed to parents. It's really addressed to children, and in particular, adult children. And so while some of us here in this room are parents, all of us are children. And so this should be very relevant for us, because biblically speaking, honoring your parents comes second only to honoring God. Because next to your relationship with God, your relationship with your parents has the biggest effect on who you are today. And God knows that if we know how to honor our parents, then society itself will be strengthened with honor and respect. But if we don't know how to honor our parents, that kind of carries over into society today. You eliminate honor in the family, and you eliminate all honor in society itself. And so this morning, we're going to ask three questions around this question of honoring your parents. That is, what does this command us to do? Why should we do it? And then how should we do it? What, why, and how? So let's start off with the question of what. What is this commanding us to do? This commands us to honor. Now, notice what it doesn't command us to do. It doesn't command affection. This doesn't mean that affection is not appropriate, but it doesn't command that you confide in or even trust your parents. It doesn't say you need to display affection to your parents. Secondly, it doesn't command adoration or admiration. It doesn't say that you have to think your parents are the greatest people in the world. It doesn't say that. Thirdly, it doesn't even command obedience to your parents. It doesn't say that you have to always do your parents' wishes, but it always commands the one thing: honor. And why is that? The reason why it commands honor is because the relationship between a parent and a child is incredibly complex. It's continually changing and evolving. So when you're young, you are completely dependent on your parents, and you must obey them. That's why Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents." In fact, the word "children" there in particular refers to little children. Where honor your parents, it's talking to adult children. But what happens? Parents are supposed to raise us up as kids. And so one day we're supposed to learn to make our own decisions, develop our own sense of identity, and one day we're to leave our parents' home and become our own people. And in fact, to continue to be dependent and completely obedient to our parents as adult children can actually be a sign of dysfunction and not health. So another reason why I think Scripture separates honor with all these other things, trust and love and affection and admiration, because while some parents are quite admirable, probably like many of your parents, some parents are just downright evil. And so therefore, to trust them, confide in them, or even to obey them would bring nothing but destruction to your life. And that's why this commandment to honor your parents is filled with incredible wisdom. Because you're not supposed to love your parents in the sense of, well, you have to have great affection for them. Yes, at certain times, and yes, in some cases, yes. But the one thing you must always give, no matter what age you are, and no matter what kind of parents they are, is honor. And so there's no excuse under any condition not to honor father and mother. Now, we have to realize how important this is, because so often I talk to adult children and they seem to confuse honor with obedience. And so they think, they falsely believe that, well, if I'm not obeying my mom and dad and what they want for my life, I must somehow be not honoring them. And that is simply not the case. The Bible says, no, honor them always. That doesn't mean obedience, affection, or admiration. So the command, what is honor? Nothing more, nothing less. Let's go on to why. Why should we honor our father and mother? Well, let me take some clues from you. Why have your parents told you, or why do you think you should honor your father or mother? Anybody? Shout it out. Because. Spoken like a true parent, right? Because. Just because. That's one of my favorite things. When I say, hey, Micah, you got to do this. Well, why? Well, just because, right? Why should we honor father and mother? God commands us to, yeah? Have your parents ever said this? You know, especially mothers. I brought you into the world and I could take you out. Right? You better be thankful for all that I've done for you. You don't know the sacrifices we've made. You know, while this is all true, I mean, some people will say you should honor your father and mother out of gratitude for all they've done for you. And while that may be true for many of us, what do you say in those situations where very little gratitude is owed? Because very little was done by the parents. So, yet, this word honor is there for everybody. Other people will say, well, you should honor your parents because they're older and wiser than you are. And that may be true, again, in most cases, but again, this is not universal. The Bible doesn't guarantee that just because you're older means that you're wiser. The Bible says the more mature in Christ you are, the wiser you are. So these are good reasons, but they're not universal, absolute reasons. The real question then is, why should we give honor to our parents? And we read it in Ephesians chapter 6. Obey your parents. Why? For this is right. Now, what is that getting at? This is right. Well, is that kind of like just because? Well, give me a few moments to unpack this, and then I think we could see this in a clearer light. So God created the whole universe with this kind of moral order and structure to things. There's good and bad, right and wrong. And so when we live under that order, we experience this kind of freedom that this structure brings, the structure of authority and all that kind of stuff. So for example, let's bring this down to a real example. Musicians. If you just gathered a whole bunch of musicians together, and knowing musicians, they would just play their own song, right? It would just be chaos, noise. But until you bring a conductor into the scene, to bring somebody, some person in authority to kind of bring them all together, only then is like a symphony possible. Same with sports. You get a bunch of athletes on the court, well, they'll just play by their own rules. That wasn't a foul. Yes, it was. Right? It's only until you get the referee who makes the call, who's in the position of authority and says, that was a foul. So here's the thing. You may not like the referee. Maybe you think he just made a bad call. Or he's just a terrible referee. You may not like the conductor. Maybe you think he's just really eccentric or strange looking. So you may not like them, But here's the thing you do know. You've got to have one. In the moral structure and order of things, you need some person in authority, and so you give honor to that person in authority, knowing that even if you don't like the person or even if that person's not doing a good job, it'd be far worse if there were no referee or no conductor. And so this is important because in life, God teaches us this moral order to the universe through our parents. And our parents become the first representation of God to us. And so parents are called to be representatives. We're called to teach our children, pass on our values, tell them this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is bad. Now, what makes a parent effective is not whether he or she is right, but whether or not he or she has taken up the office of being a parent. And so most parents intrinsically know that they're called to teach their kids and pass on their values. So any good parent will do that. And so I don't know if you know this, but what destroys a kid's sense of purpose and respect for the parents is not whether the parents are smart or wise or capable. What really destroys a child's sense of respect for the parents and for life in general is that the parents really don't believe what they say and what they teach. So much so that experts will say misdirected authority and even harsh authority is less deadly than no authority. So if you say to your kids, you know, I'm not sure what's right or wrong, you go figure that out. I don't have any say in this. That is more deadly to a child than being told the wrong things. Why is that? Well, sociologist Emil Durkheim, he says this: if you give children the wrong kind of authority and teach them the wrong things, at least they have the possibility of growing up, looking back and saying, my parents were wrong. And they could go discover the right kind of truth and the right kind of authority. But if you give them no teaching authority, if you don't uphold the office of being a parent, they will grow up not knowing that there is any difference between right or wrong. They will be lost in life. And do you know why this is so important for us to know in order to honor our parents, to honor father and mother? Did your parents ever give you bad advice? Did they ever tell you things that you now believe are completely wrong? Well, you need to honor them for the simple fact that they upheld the office of a parent and they fulfilled to the best of their abilities the responsibilities of teaching you their values. They don't have to be right in order for you to honor them. They simply have to teach this moral order to the universe, to their children. And so did your parents teach you the wrong things? Well, at least they taught you. And so you must honor them. But this raises a question. What if your parents were just really screwed up? I mean, they were just really bad. I mean, they neglected you. They abused you, maybe physically or emotionally. Do you still have to honor them? And the answer is yes. Why? Because of what they represent. They were the first representations of God. And even though they may have done a lousy job at being that representation, you must give them honor because of what lies behind your parents, which is God himself. And so give honor to your parents, not just because or because out of gratitude. Those are good reasons, but because this is right. That's the moral structure and order of the universe. And we are to give honor to parents. And in doing that, we give honor to God. So let's get practical. How do we give honor to our parents? Two ways, two subheadings and a lot of examples underneath that. First is take your parents seriously. The word Hebrew word for honor literally means to be heavy, which doesn't sound good, but it means to treat your parent, to treat somebody with weight and significance. And so you don't necessarily have to do all that they say. You don't have to confide your problems in them. You don't even have to think that they're the best parents in the world, but you cannot take them flippantly. You must take them seriously. And so that means a few things. That means, cultural symbols of honor. So it might be for some of you remembering their anniversary or their birthdays. Maybe if they don't live near you, calling them, even when you don't feel like it. Maybe asking them for their opinion, even if you're not sure you're going to take their advice. And this is really, it depends on culture too. My parents, when they come, and of course they're Asian, and so this whole Eastern kind of hierarchical culture, when they come over to visit us, the way we honor them and the way they want to be honored is, here, take our bedroom, take our king-size bed, we'll go sleep in the guest room. Well, my parents don't really expect us to make them dinner. In fact, the way we honor them is, let my mom go in the kitchen and let her have it and make food for us and eat all her food. That's the way to honor her. When Amy's parents come, offering our master bedroom isn't specifically a way we honor them. For them, it's kind of different. It's like, hey, let us make you dinner. So we cooked filet mignon yesterday, and they just enjoyed it. And that was just great for them just to be honored in that way. So it looks different. Not only but doing these, fulfilling these acts of honor, but also speaking words of honor. I never understood this until I became a parent myself. But you have to honor the fact that your parents need to want to and need to see some representation of themselves in you. So here are my two kids, Elsa and Micah. When they receive an award for outstanding achievement, and I never understood this until I became a parent, I feel somehow rewarded. And then when they do something foolish or they get called out on something, I feel somehow dishonored. And so just recognize that your parents, to hear from you, to say, you know, Dad or Mom, this is what I've learned from you. This is the one lesson that I've gained from you. My goodness, I mean, they may not like overflow and just gush out, but they will stand up and say, yes, because you are made in their image. Or to say, you know, Dad, I have this good attribute. My work ethic, Mom, is from you. My intellect is from you, Dad. And so just honor your parents with words of honor. Another thing, another suggestion here is don't stereotype your parents. I don't know if this has happened to you, but one of the things that I hated when I grew up was my dad used to always act as if like he knew me, right? Like he knew what I was thinking, he knew my motives, he knew what I was going to do, and he kind of categorized me and labeled me. In fact, before we got married, he pulled Amy into our office and said, Amy, sit down. Let me tell you a few things about Sung. Now, this is just a typical, very Asian dad thing to do. It's not really harsh, but he's just, let me tell you, Sung is really stubborn. Are you sure you want to marry him? Right? Well, this past week, I just hated that when my dad would just say, you know, oh, you're just like this and you're like this. I hated when he stereotyped me. Well, there's a tendency as we grow up, because we know our parents, to do the reverse and stereotype them. We know what they're going to say. We know what all the arguments. In fact, that happened to me this past week. The alternator in my car gave out. And so this was a really busy week. And so I took it to the mechanic and cost was not a price because I needed my car. So on the way home from work one day, I'm calling my dad on the Bluetooth. I'm driving and I say, hey, Dad, the car's fixed. Oh, yeah, how much was it? $300. What? You could, and he goes off on his, you know, usual dad lecture, you know. And I said, Dad, I know. This was a really busy week for me. It was worth it. I just had to get it done. And we start to get into an argument. We haven't had an argument for like a year. And it was pretty heated. And he's going off on like, well, you know, and he's going off on his dad thing, just giving me the lecture. And this was a really stupid reason to argue. But I'm driving down Packard, and I'm sitting there, I'm raising my voice. And at one point, I'm like, Dad, just stop it. I know exactly what you're going to say. And I went off and spouted out everything that he was going to say. And he's like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, I know, Dad, I know it. And so I stereotyped him. I've labeled him. I haven't given him a chance to grow and change. And so sometimes as adult children, we could do that to our parents. Oh, they will never change. They're always like this. Well, don't do that to them. Take them seriously. So take your parents seriously, but also beyond, more than that, look beyond your parents. And this is what I mean by that. your parents, when you were young, really were God's representation to you. So as a little kid, what do you live for? You live for the praise of your parents. And so you learn to repeat the behaviors that they praise you for. Hey, Johnny, that was great. And so you keep doing that, kind of looking to your parents. Dad, Mom, look at me. Isn't this great? Aren't I great? And so it's natural for us as little kids to seek their approval. The words give us a sense of meaning and significance in life. But now what happens as you get older, some of you are still locked into that pattern. You're still dependent on what your parents think about you. So that drives you to a lot of things. It drives you to, you know, go into a certain vocation, go into a certain program of study, to make a certain amount of money, to prove that you are still worthy of love from your parents. And somehow we think we need their verdict and we need their approval. But here's the thing. You will never be able to honor your mother or father until you are free from the need of their approval. You are trapped if you are still caught in their verdict. The only way you can be free to honor your parents is if you look beyond your parents and seek your heavenly Father's approval. Only when you say, the approval that I live for is God alone, only then will you be able to respond accordingly and treat your mother and father with due respect and honor. And so what does that mean, to seek God's approval and his honor? Well, you know, if you are a Christian, you know that you are an adopted son or daughter of God. You are an adopted child. And so if you're adopted, did you do anything to kind of catch God's attention? No. You know, we often think, yeah, you know, God's pretty lucky to have me in his kingdom, right? No. I mean, I have several friends who have adopted kids. It's based on the parents' choice, not on the kids', you know, wealth or status or position. It's not based on any of that, not even his appearance. And so God's love is based not on your perfection, not on your performance, but on his perfection. Let me just close with this, because I think sometimes we don't understand when we think when we're adopted sons and daughters of God. You know, in the Asian culture, it's pretty interesting because, you know, in Asian cultures, like, there's more value in being a son than a daughter. You know, so in some countries, they kind of discard daughters when they're born. I remember preaching something about this in a youth group, and there was an Asian girl who came up afterwards. I was talking about being a son or daughter of God, or about being a son of God. And she came up to me and said, you know, Sung, you know, I'm so glad to be called a son of God. I said, well, you could be a daughter of God. She said, no, I don't want to be a daughter of God. I want to be a son of God. Because being a son of God means that I am not second class. And you see, in that Asian culture, that's so ingrained in that culture. And so to be a child of God means that you are not second class. Here is love that is unconditional, without strings, where Jesus has done all the work on the cross for your salvation, and all you have to do is receive that love. So honor father and mother. This morning, we're going to do that first and foremost by giving honor to God. Will you stand up and let me pray as we prepare ourselves to sing in response to honor God? Let's pray. Father, this morning we pray for our parents, if they're still around, mother or father or both. And some of them may have been really not so good parents, but we pray and honor them because of what lies behind them. And for those of us who have had really great parents, we give you thanks especially because they were good representations of you. And so this morning we desire to give you honor. And as we leave this place, help us to give honor to those due honor. Father, we thank you for the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, that we are received and accepted and loved. And because of that, we are not second class. So of your love and your grace, we sing this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen.